Keon, welcome back to Colt Gennaro Chat.
Pleasure to be here. It's really nice being on a podcast and not hosting one. Like, not like you will have to, after this is done, you have to go back and start. Well, I don't know. You won't have much editing to do, but you'll have to, you know, put some intros, publish it, put it on the hosting thing. I just leave. That's great. I look forward to that.
Yeah, it's a different experience because I gotta record this. I gotta throw it in Audacity to put the music in. I gotta probably chop it up just a little bit, and then I gotta, yeah, like you said, throw it on the hosting service, and it's a whole thing. So yeah, I prefer being the guest, but hey, this is tons of fun. I mean, you have the Managing Madrid podcast, I have this, you know how fun, and you have Jersey Tacticas as well.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun, but it's like, it's always when I make plans, I'm like, okay, I'll be done my podcast at X time, and I always forget to factor in that it takes like literally 15, 20 minutes, sometimes half an hour to do everything else afterwards.
Oh yeah.
I think it's a good half hour process post show.
It's usually longer for me, but I'm kind of a perfectionist, so.
I rarely edit. It's like insanely rare if I edit anything. I just throw some music on and that's it.
Yeah, that's, I wish it were that easy for me.
Well, you'd think we'd have flawless shows. That's what it means, but it totally doesn't mean that. It just means we just have lower standards, probably.
It adds character. It adds some authenticity.
Sure.
Yeah. So, normally, Keon, I have you on when the Madrid Derby is near, but today we're doing something a little different. We're going to go through the calendar year, 2018, for both Atleti and for the other guys, Real Madrid. We're going to talk about probably half a dozen different topics. We'll start with the current status of our teams. So, Keon, you go first. Real Madrid have had a kind of a roller coaster season to this point. How would you characterize it? Where do you think they're at currently?
Oof. That's like a totally like loaded question, which, depending on how you want to answer, you could write a book about it. There's so many different ways to dissect it. Where are we at currently? I think we're at a stage where we have, our manager is not a tactician. He's gotten good results. The process hasn't looked good. The eye test hasn't looked good. The few times that the team has looked good, you look at the opposition, the Club World Cup or against Melilla. The two exceptions, I think, two tests that we passed, I think were actually okay. One was away 4-2 win at Balaidos under Solari. Shorthanded, a lot of injuries, like makeshift substitutions, Ceballos as defensive midfielder. And then first half against Valencia, we played really well. That's like, since that game, I think Modric is starting to look like himself. So what we have going for us is that certain players who just completely were asleep under Lopetegui, like Varane, Modric, people like that are starting to wake up a little bit under Solari and looking like themselves. And also the fact that finally somebody had the brilliant idea to put Marcos Llorente, the third, arguably the third best defensive midfielder in Spain 3 seasons ago with Alaves. Is it 3 seasons, 2 seasons ago? I can't remember.
2 years, yeah.
And finally the brilliant idea to put him as your backup instead of, you know, putting Ceballos back there, putting Kroos back there. And that has worked really well for us. And even though the team has holes still, at least Llorente is there to mop it up and cover the mess, and he's good on the ball. His one weakness, which is vertical passing and being a bit more daring and adventurous with his passing, he's improved on that game by game, and he's looked a bit more daring lately. His dribbling has been good. He's more press resistant than Casemiro. Those are the good stuff. The rest is like basically a disaster, and we're going to go trophyless this season.
You really think so?
Look, before the season started, I predicted that we'd win the league and bow out of the semifinals of the Champions League, and I never go back on my predictions, so I have to stick to that. I don't know how realistic that is. I mean, it's not inconceivable that the players we have who are really great players individually can put together a string of performances and peak in April and put together a run and win the league. It's not the most impossible thing, but it's also doesn't look that likely at the moment either.
I mean, from my perspective, just watching what you guys have done in the past 5 years, there are certain inevitability factors here that every year Real Madrid just wake up in February, March, April, and they go on this massive run and they end up winning the European Cup again. this does feel a little different to me, though, and I'm probably going to regret that when they do win it again. But this does feel different because, as you said, Solari is not really a master tactician over there. Like, you guys have not hired the new Pep, but I think he's brought some stability. You mentioned the Valencia game, and I thought that was arguably Real Madrid's best performance of the season to this point.
The problem is the second half was terrible. Yeah, so, like, it wasn't even a full 90. The first half, great. The first half was great, and I remember being at the game, and everyone was there, was like, oh, this is done. And but then, like, literally, there were so many nervous moments in the second half before we were able to finally close it out. So it wasn't even a full 90.
That I think that game and the Leganés game, the 4-1, like, in the third week of the season, those were Real Madrid's best two performances of the season. The rest of it, yeah, it's just been kind of a mess. And
yeah, people sometimes forget, like, the first 4 or 5 games under Lopetegui were actually brilliant. Quite good.
Yeah, they were brilliant. Yeah. And then just the wheels kind of came off. And yeah, the football was definitely prettier under Lopetegui, but I think Solari has done a good job kind of calming things down a bit. There have been some really, like, the win over Rayo was a really insipid display. That there was some terrible football in that game.
Like, yeah, Rayo, and then the week before that was Huesca.
Yeah,
and was also incredibly underwhelming, and they kind of just escaped that game with 3 points. There was that shocking miss. I don't remember who it was now. In the second half, it was an open net header, and somehow it was just like he basically headed it across the face of goal instead of into the net. Yeah, you mentioned, like, and the Lopetegui at least looked nice. I would even say that it. That part of it is so subjective, and a lot of people really just were basically like had made up their mind after Lopetegui was through with us that they never want possession football ever again. They don't want the ball. They just want goals and, like, results. And there were a lot of games under Lopetegui, which was really weird to me, by the way, because this never happened in the qualifying phase with Spain when he was in charge, and it didn't happen with Real Madrid in the first 4 or 5 games. But, like, after that hot start, the offense just looked out of ideas. There was stagnancy. There wasn't good movement off the ball. There was a disconnect between the midfield and the attack. Real Madrid couldn't get into the final third. So it actually didn't even look good. Like, that was the other thing. It became stale, and there were a lot of things going against Lopetegui. One, obviously, that, you know, they lost Ronaldo, and then he had a bunch of injuries he had to deal with, and players, like, clearly just, like, hungover from the World Cup, like Varane. Like, what do you do in those situations? Hit the crossbar a bunch of times, but... But at the same time, like, the eye test didn't look good either. And you know, it's funny, Jeremy, like, I think there's probably, like, another universe where, like, Real Madrid hires somebody else. And then they get fired. And then Lopetegui comes in now after he's, you know, he's done his World Cup campaign with Spain and then maybe starts his thing now. Either way, I think the... Whoever it is that needs to be Real Madrid's coach, we haven't seen him yet, and it's definitely not Solari. I'd be shocked if Solari remains beyond the end of the season. I just really feel this team needs a tactician, and not so much rely on just individual performances to get you points.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. What's your biggest concern going forward for Real Madrid?
Goals.
Like, and as strange as that is to say, I'd have to agree.
Yeah, I think a lot of people expected that uptick from Benzema, Bale, Asensio, and Isco offensively. And Asensio hasn't been himself this season, and Isco has been in and out of the team. Yep. He had the appendicitis, and then the fallout with Solari. Bale and Benzema started off the season great, and then they just completely tailed off. Bale had that famous 10-game drought in La Liga. You know, some of those games he's played well, despite not scoring. Some of the other games he's just been completely passive and bad. And so I think what we've probably learned in this entire process is that Bale and Benzema are really, really good, probably even great complementary players offensively who can provide you with a bunch of great offensive contributions, goals, assists, pressing, hounding. But they can't be that, like, goal-scoring assassin game in, game out. And they need that right now, like, desperately. They need someone who can just... The thing with Ronaldo is, like, he could go Not that he was necessarily like this kind of player, because he was actually quite involved with us in the attack, but he could go games without like being touching the ball and not being cold at all, pop up in the 90th minute and score a header. And like that player doesn't really exist right now on the team.
And
you also just can't get him. Like there's someone like that easily. That's the other thing. So you whoever it is, you probably have to wait till the summer, because you're not going to get a player like that in the winter time. And so that you just kind of, a lot of fans I think have just written off this season as like this, you know, well, we won a lot of trophies in the last 5 years. That's fine. Let's have a bad year. Let's get who we need to in the summertime, and whatever happens this year is like house money.
I think a lot of people on the other side of town would like that very much. Speaking of the other side of town, despite not having a win streak longer than 3 games this season, Atletico they're in a good position. Second in La Liga, just 3 points behind Barca. Into the Champions League knockouts, which obviously last year they were not. Alive in the Copa del Rey, looking pretty good there. It's been
interesting. Didn't this kind of happen last year? Like, didn't we... I remember you and I talking about, like, this was around the same time the Karabag thing, and you guys were out of the Champions League then, so it is different, but
yeah,
we were talking about, like, how you were struggling in La Liga, and then, like, you fast forward a bit, and you're, like, right there somehow.
See, I'm not quite sure how they're doing it, but they're somehow in it, and if they'd won that game against Barca, which, you know, they were 2 minutes away from doing so, 3 minutes away from doing so, they'd be atop the table. Yeah, that was a really hard draw to take. That felt like a loss, because that should have been a win. Atletico played well enough. Well, there was very little football in that game, but they played well enough to win, I thought. They had the right game plan, and it just didn't work. Felipe Luis left Dembele open. You don't really do that, because he's quite good. But that aside, Atletico are somehow in this. Their last result was that 1-0 over Espanyol, which really was not a good game to watch, but Griezmann settled it from the spot. It's hard to say they've played well in La Liga, but it works to their advantage this season, unlike last season, because the league is so tight this year, and there are so many competitive teams, and it's coming off a World Cup year where usually point totals are a bit lower, teams are a bit more inconsistent. Right now, it's an 80-point league. It's less than an 80-point league, actually, and... Yeah. That works very much in Atletico's favor, despite their inconsistencies. They've lost only once, and that was back in September. They've lost only once since that Celta loss on September 1st.
Yeah, this is why, like, the thing with Atletico is that they don't need to be brilliant. No. They don't need to even be on the radar. Like, they literally are just sometimes not on the radar, but then you look at the standings and they are, like, they're, like you mentioned, like, the fact that they only have one loss, and quietly, still the best defense in the league. Like, even though we're talking about, like, oh, you know, they have problems and all this, and they get it done, like, week in, week out. This is, like, the big difference in, like, everything surrounding Real Madrid right now, like, and like, basically every year in La Liga. And they just can't get results week in, week out against their opposition, whereas Atletico and Barca generally have been able to, especially Barca, because they've been dominating the league. But the thing with Atletico is just that I find it so hard to watch them, man. And, like, I have to, because it's kind of my job. It's more so your job.
Yeah.
You do it. Well, you're a fan. It's different. Like, I find it, no matter how bad Real Madrid is, I still will get up and support them, and I enjoy it. So when you're a fan, it's different. When you're not a fan of them, it's really, really hard to watch them. And I think, like, even that Barca game where everyone was like, oh, this is a great game, I was like, no, it's not going to be a great game. Like, you have to understand the history of Barcelona against Atletico in La Liga. You just know it's going to be kind of a dud, and that's okay, because that's how they get the result. I also wasn't surprised. Like, I could see all the good things they were doing, and it was boring. Like, they weren't pressing high in that game. They were basically closing every passing lane they possibly could to Messi, swarming him when he gets the ball. They did all the right things, but then, like, somehow you knew. It's just Atletico are going to find a way to... It didn't even occur to me until you reminded me. Like, I couldn't believe in the 90th minute...
I know.
Atletico, of all teams, left off and just Dembele open like that. And it wasn't, like, really a counter. It was just, like, they had enough time to be there. You just knew it was coming.
Yeah, there's a reason Cholo has never beaten Barca in La Liga. His Atletico side has never beaten Barca in La Liga.
Do you believe in that psychological thing? Because you have Barca in La Liga, and then you have us in Europe. Do you think that's a real thing, or is it just coincidence?
I think there is an element of psychological, like, not damage, but there is certainly an element of it that's present in these games. I got to give credit to the players because they get up every single time and they keep battling every single time despite the constant frustrations and disappointments and even heartbreaks, especially to Madrid in the Champions League finals. But they keep getting up for these games. That's a testament to Cholo and his staff. That in the A-bar result, that 1-1 draw that should have been like a 5-0 win, those are the two results that really have hurt Atletico. But, and even then, despite all these draws, 7 and 17 games, despite being on pace for about 50 goals in the league, here they are with the second-best goal difference, the best defense in the league, and just 3 points off top. So it's gone well despite the issues, despite Diego Costa being terrible and now being out for another 6 weeks, despite all the injuries, despite some key players getting older, not playing very well, and despite not beating Barcelona or Real Madrid to this point, here they are.
That, to me, is also, because that applies to Atletico, but it almost applies to a bunch of teams in La Liga, where you can say, we have been disappointing this year, but because there's so much parity in La Liga,
yeah,
we're somehow kind of still there.
Yep.
Like Betis started off the season really disappointing. They're in a European spot right now. Valencia, who you're like, you could swear on your mother's life that they haven't won a game in La Liga this season. they're 4 points of a Europa League spot now. They're eighth place. I don't know how they became eighth place all of a sudden. They have four wins. So like, I feel like there's a lot of these teams where they're just like, no matter how bad we are, somehow we're there. The exception to the rule is obviously is like Bilbao and Villarreal have just been so bad that they're just really, really down there. And Sociedad too have been really unimpressive. But everything else is just like, and that's why as a neutral or just as a Spanish football fan, like it's a great time to be watching this league because it's so unpredictable.
It's been a great season. I really enjoyed watching it. I wish I could watch more. It's been great this year. And yeah, funny thing about Athletic, I actually picked them to finish fourth. Yeah, that didn't work for me. I picked them to finish fourth.
That's Keon. Really bold. Wow.
I thought they found the right coach. I thought they had enough talent. I thought all these good things about them, and now they're in a relegation fight. And
I think it's possible we collectively overhyped, or maybe over. Estimated Bariso.
I think we did. I love the job he did at Celta, but he flamed out at Sevilla, and now he flamed out at Athletic.
Yeah.
So just really tough. I think Atletico's biggest concerns going forward are two or threefold. They've had a lot of injuries, and they have had 4 to 6 players out every game for about the last month. That's really tough, and it makes this run of results, this unbeaten run they're on in La Liga, it makes it even more impressive considering all these injuries. Simeone's had to dip into the academy, particularly in defense with Javi Montero back there now. So getting healthy in 2019, including getting Diego Costa back, that's a must. The Lucas Hernandez saga doesn't look... Never trust a Hernandez brother. Just never trust him. That's now a saga. Hopefully Bayern don't take him until the summer, but I suppose it is still possible in January. And then, of course, the Champions League. The Juve draw, I don't think it's a particularly kind one. No. I would rather have seen Atleti draw City or PSG because I think Juve are more willing to give up the ball than those other two teams are. I think it's going to be a very tight draw. It could be open. I could see a scenario where, particularly in that second leg, things open up a lot. But Atletico have got to win the first leg. It's got to be a clean sheet, too. You let Juve take an away goal back to Italy, and it's probably, early doors.
Yeah, I didn't like that draw for you guys. No. Nor did I really like it from a Real Madrid fan perspective, because there's a lot of, kind of like on football Twitter, there's this thing floating around that if you want Atleti to beat Juve, then you're not a true Madridista because you should support Ronaldo, blah, blah, blah. I'm really like, I don't care if Ronaldo wins a trophy or not. My priority is for Real Madrid to win the Champions League. I don't think Real Madrid win the Champions League especially if they face Juve. I think Juve, and the worst case scenario for us is for Ronaldo to knock us out. So because I have zero faith in us beating Juve, I would rather someone else knock them out for us. I don't know if you can do it. I actually would be happy if you did it.
Wow.
I would. I like our chances better against you guys than I would against Juve in a future round, which come back to bite me. But I really think Ronaldo would knock us out, and I just don't want any part of that. People think that it's going to be a complete defensive dud. I think it's going to be actually quite interesting, entertaining. I think Allegri is more tactically versatile than we think. Mm. So I think he'll go at Atletico a little bit. This is where I worry about Atletico, Jeremy. I don't know how you guys score. I don't know how you guys just score at goals in general.
Yeah, sometimes neither do I. It's going to have to come through Griezmann. Almost undoubtedly, it's going to have to come through him. If Costa's back and healthy, that helps matters quite a bit. If he's back to his best after his foot surgery, I mean, it kind of changes the equation.
He needs to be good. He can't just be on the field right. And do nothing like he has been.
He needs to be himself. And
yeah.
There's no guarantee he's going to be himself after surgery, but at least you give yourself a bigger chance than just watching him, you know, week in, week out, just kind of struggle out there and limp around for 80, 90 minutes.
You need... I think you need to have everybody firing. You need Lamar in form.
Yeah.
You need a Partey trademark golazo somewhere in there.
I would agree with that. Someone is going to have to score just a remarkable goal on open play. Correa could do it. Lamar is capable.
One of those classic Saul run into the box.
He loves these big games. I'm telling you. Yeah. He loves them.
I could see Saul scoring a game. I mentioned this on Twitter, and not to break your heart or whatever, maybe you don't even feel this way, I don't know, but every time I watch Mandzukic play, I'm like, this guy is literally the perfect Atletico striker. Why did they let him go?
I know, he had a falling out with Cholo, and it was a whole thing. I miss him so much.
He's literally the perfect striker for you guys.
Yeah, I know. And, yeah. Well, Kalinic has done a good job so far, but he's not... He doesn't get in people's faces like Mandzukic does. He's not as versatile as Manzu is, and I do miss him every day. I really do. I didn't appreciate it when he left how much Atleti would miss his attitude and would miss what he offered, because he went on like a 3 or 4 month goalless run at the end of his spell there, and yeah, no one really liked him by the end. But now we all recognize just how good he was, how solid he was. So it's tough.
What's going on with Gelson Martins? Is he healthy?
Yeah, that's a good segue into what we think these teams are going to do in January. Gelson, I think, is going to leave. He hasn't won Cholo over. They had a falling out a couple months ago during training, how Gelson just wouldn't track back. He didn't really want defensive responsibilities. And you can understand that upset Cholo quite a bit. So he dropped them for a few games, and he's made, I think, 2 starts this year, both of them as a forward, which I don't really know why he's not a forward. Simeone's done this in the past, most notably with Carrasco, Yannick Carrasco playing him as a forward, even though he's a winger. I think Gelson's going to leave because there aren't really many options for him to get playing time here. Simeone has turned to several other players to kind of replace the player already in his squad. I think Atleti will try to find a replacement in midfield. I think they're set with wingers. You have Vitolo, you have Correa, you have Lemar. If all three of those guys are healthy, that's a pretty good competition there for places on the wing. I think Atleti are going to try to find a striker, and they're going to try to find a midfielder, and they're going to pray that Lucas stays.
I think you're right. Basically, your biggest thing is definitely a striker. You need to be able to rely on someone other than Diego Costa.
Yeah.
What's your read on the Lucas situation? Because I was just going back and forth. But then I was thinking about it. It was like, you can deny it, but that won't stop Bayern from activating its release clause. But then the argument was, well, it's because they have good relationships and they don't want to piss them off. I'm like, okay, well, maybe, but that didn't stop Real Madrid from doing it, or has that stopped Bayern from doing it to Dortmund like 8 million times a year?
Yeah,
so
I
don't think it happens in January, but I was also thinking about it from Bayern's perspective. As good as Lucas Hernandez is, and he's been really good.
Yeah, he's great.
Would you trigger a release clause that high for him?
Well,
I don't know.
Bayern, the reports have said that they want to really refresh their squad, which makes sense. They've been running out the same players for 6-7 years now. But yeah, they've never ever made a transfer that high. Maybe the winds of change are there in Bavaria now, but I don't see it happening in January. Atletico's CEO, Miguel Angel Marin, came out the other day in an interview with Goal, and he said it's not happening in January. We're going to meet with Bayern in January, but the only way Lucas leaves is if it's over the summer, which, okay, that's a nice stance to take, but it's not. Oh, the saga's not over till it's over, and I really would be surprised if Bayern triggered it in January. They want to pay in installments from what I've seen. Atletico do not want it in installments. They want the whole lump sum. So I don't know how that's going to play in negotiations, but Bayern...
If he decides to go, is he a complete snake to you?
Not like Teo is, no. But leaving in the middle of the season, that would be very tough to take.
Yeah, it would be huge, Bill.
I talked about this recently on one of the bonus pods on Patreon, and I think an important perspective is that Lucas and Teo didn't grow up with much. Single mom raised them. Their father was a former Atletico defender and also a deadbeat. They didn't really grow up with much. All they had was football. All they had was Atletico's academy. So Teo jumped at the chance to get rich and get glitz and glamour. And I think Lucas, making only 3-4 million a year, he sees Bayern offering 8 or 9 million. He's like, well, get me on that train. Get me to Munich. I understand it. Money talks, but
yeah.
Leaving his boyhood club in the middle of the season when they can realistically challenge for the biggest titles, that would be very snake-like, I think.
But that's the reason you mentioned just like a few seconds ago is the reason why I never blame any athlete for taking the money, because in football in particular, like I remember writing a story about Casemiro in the summertime about his childhood. He literally was so poor that his mom couldn't buy him this one little yogurt drink that was like 90 cents. And there's that famous video of him crying, talking about it. And now he says he laughs about it and says he literally drinks them every day, even though he hates them, just because he can. And this is like this is the level we're talking about. Like a lot of these footballers come from backgrounds like that.
Yeah.
Growing up in the street. And when you see those situations, you can never, even like when players go to China to cash in, like I'm like, you know what, good for you. And on the flip side, we expect them to be loyal, but the clubs never show loyalty, never. They will sell you if they see it a good business move or they can upgrade their squad. And that's a huge generalization. Maybe that's not true across the board, but that's why I just generally... I'm okay with players making certain decisions financially.
Oh, yeah. I won't begrudge Lucas for taking, you know, double or triple his current pay.
Yeah.
If that offer is still on the table in June, though, you know, you'd rather have him leave in June than in January. But whatever happens is going to happen. My read on it, though, is that he's going to stay. He'll play out the rest of the season, then he'll leave in June. It gives Atleti more time to find a replacement anyway, rather than having to scramble. Atleti haven't always had the most successful January windows, but... They haven't been really active the last couple of years, and 2015 was funny because they got Connie on loan for some reason. I still can't figure out why Connie came in. But yeah, my read on it is that Lucas is going to stay. What about you guys? What are Real Madrid going to do in January, if anything?
My feeling is nothing.
Nothing?
I just don't know if the hole you need to fill right now is a striker, because you're covered with a fullback position, you're covered central defense, you're covered in midfield, you're covered in attacking positions apart from the striker position. You have a very respectable backup striker in Mariano, who I think is quite a good player to bring off the bench. He's had injuries of late and he's had some bad luck in it, but I really believe in him. But you need your main goal scorer, which you don't have. And I don't think you can get that guy in January. That's why I think the team just stands pat. Because I don't know what else to upgrade other than that one position.
Yeah, that makes sense. They just like you said, this may just be one of those seasons for Madrid. It just may be one of those cases where you just got to roll the dice with what you've got. What you've got is still a really talented squad with, you know, the Ballon d'Or winner in it and FIFA's Player of the Year in it. But yeah, it's just it hasn't quite clicked, and just roll with what you've got. That's probably the logical decision rather than splurging on, you know, on what may be a lost cause anyway.
So, like, I kind of going back to the Lopetegui thing. I think what he had in mind made sense in theory. He just couldn't execute it. And that was when you lose Ronaldo, you lose 50 goals a year. How do you compensate for those goals? Maybe you can't. Maybe you don't score as many. What's an alternative solution? Concede less. So instead of needing 4 goals to win a game, so like under Zidane, sometimes you need to win like 4 goals to beat out, you know, 2 goals or 3 goals that you concede because you're bad defensively. Maybe you concede less, you score less, and that's okay. Kind of like the extreme version as is that the way Atletico just grind out 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. And that's kind of, I guess, overgeneralization, a bit of a stereotype. But, I mean, you know, you've been following Atletico for a while. You know how
it
works.
It's not wrong. It's really not wrong.
And so, like, this idea Lopetegui had to implement this was counter-pressing and possession. Because those two things, if you can retain the ball high up the pitch quickly and you can keep the ball, in theory, you concede less possession, which means you concede less chances.
Right.
So that idea in itself made sense to me. But we just couldn't execute it, and the offense just wasn't good enough still. So, like, because you can go down the list. How many teams have Ronaldo or Messi? Literally 99.999999% of teams don't have those two. They figure out a way to compensate for it. So, you know, and Bale, Asensio, Isco, Benzema, these guys on paper are players that any team would kill to have an attack. So how can you make it work? But they just haven't been able to. One, players have been out of form. Again, like, I think Isco, expecting Isco to go into the starting lineup and literally be like the equivalent of Mbappe was probably, it was like throwing him into the fire. And I think maybe we overestimated how much we can get from him. Maybe it was too much for him. Maybe, you know, last year, the year before, he didn't have any pressure. He had zero. He had like basically a zero price tag. He comes in, he wows us all with golazos and plays brilliantly. This year, like, we sell Ronaldo, we put him in the starting lineup, and he just couldn't. I just don't think he could have lived up to it. That doesn't mean he won't kind of rebound and bounce back. Maybe it was too much for him at once. So I think we kind of overestimated, overanalyzed how much we could do without Ronaldo. And the other thing, Jeremy, sorry to blabber on, is that I think one thing you miss without Ronaldo, not just his goals, you miss his mentality, you miss his pick-me-up attitude, his spirit.
Yeah.
The ability, just his body language when you go down a goal, is just like literally like he gives you confidence to do that and just bounce back and win. And like, you know, there will be no greater example of that than last year when we went down 3-0 to Juve at the Bernabeu when we were up 3-0 from the first leg in Turin. And it was like, oh my God, how is this happening? Are we really going out after being up 3-0 in the first leg? And then he rallies, and then he takes that penalty as if like he's just throwing a grape in his swimming pool in his backyard. Like, it's just, it was amazing the way he slotted that home. And I think you missed that.
Not to compare the two directly, but Atletico missed that with Costa too. They miss his mentality, the way he bullies guys, the way he picks his teammates up. They've missed that all season, and I'm looking forward to them retaining that version of Diego Costa. Again, not to compare the two, because
no, but it's a valid point, because even when you guys, when he was at Chelsea,
yeah,
and then he came back, I remember like literally that first game he was back, I felt the difference just in the composure and the way the team carried itself. You could feel it.
Yeah. Moving along, your player of the year for 2018 and best moment.
I think it's got to be Ronaldo.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's not an easy one, but it is a logical choice. And your best moment's got to be beating Liverpool.
I can probably pinpoint the exact moment it was, and it was when Bale's bicycle kick went in against Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. That was
because that was the moment where we just went apeshit. We're like, oh my god, what a way to go ahead in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
And then when he scored the third goal, where the long distance shot that goes through Karius, that was the moment where we just knew it was happening. So somewhere along those minutes was probably the best moment.
Yeah, between like the 64th and the 84th minute, probably. Where those are pretty good moments for you guys. Third straight European Cup, fourth in 5 years, no big deal. My player of the calendar year for Atleti would have to be Griezmann. I think from start to finish, his 2018 has been brilliant. To end last season, he was at about a goal and an assist per game. He's hovering around the same pace this year despite a really slow start. Could have, maybe should have, won the Ballon d'Or, but ultimately lost out to Luka Modric, who he beat in two finals. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. He did beat him in the World Cup and Super Cup finals. But that being said, I think he was the player of the year, and the best moment, I think, was his goal against Arsenal. That was the moment where I thought, okay, this team's going to win the Europa League.
Was that a bicycle kick? I can't remember.
No, it was, I think, a Jimenez long ball. Griezmann takes on, I think, two or three defenders by himself, knocks over Mustafi right in front of goal, has him, like, crawling to try to knock down the ball, and then he roofs into the top of the net from a tight angle.
Yeah. I remember, yeah.
That was the moment where I kind of thought, okay, yeah, they're going to win the Europa League. They're going to win a trophy this year.
I just remember that Arsenal was, and like, literally, it felt like they were three levels below you in those two legs.
They had 75% possession in the first leg and about 65 in the second leg. They didn't look comfortable at all.
No.
And like they had a golden chance with up a man for 80 minutes. They had a golden chance in that first leg to just end it, and they couldn't. In very Wenger fashion, they just could not end it. And that left Griezmann with about 5 minutes to go to get the equalizer, really out of just nothing. It was him against the world, basically. And that was the moment of the year, I think, for Atleti. Finally, last category, your predictions for 2019. Now, you've said Real Madrid could go trophyless. I can't imagine a world where they go trophyless because I've lived over the last 5 years.
Which trophy do you think they win then? Because I don't know.
I mean, hey, it's hard to pick against them in the Champions League, but...
But
it's hard.
I think they were pushing their luck with three in a row.
They were. They really rode their luck last year. You know it. They rode their luck quite a bit against
United. No, and that's harsh. I mean, they also deserved it. But, I mean, like, this is, as you said earlier in the podcast, this feels different.
Yeah, it does. It's not the same. It's hard to pick against them, though, based on the... Yeah, it's not necessarily luck. That is a tad harsh on what they've accomplished and how they've accomplished it. But
Liverpool looked great. PSG looked...
They did.
Good. Juve look fantastic.
Bayern City look good.
And I think there's a lot of teams that just are better than us this year.
So you don't think they're going to win any? I think they could win the Copa. Why not? I'll pick them to win the Copa.
Thanks, buddy. So maybe. I would say. I don't backtrack on my predictions. So I did predict we'd win the league. So we are, as it stands. 8 points back, a game in hand. Assuming we win that, that's 5 points back. And then you just kind of have to figure out a way to claw it. So I'm still going to stick with that prediction. We win the league.
I'm going to predict the same thing for Atletico. I think it's bold because this is Barca's league until
Need to beat Barcelona, please.
They're going to try when they go to camp now, and I think they go in March again. But no, I think Atletico, I think they can win the league, especially if it keeps this pace. Anything over about 85 points, I don't believe Atletico can win it. If it's 80 or even less than that, I think they have a great chance. I mean, Barca are going to be competing on three fronts just like Atletico, but... Honestly, if Atletico go out to Juve in the last 16, yeah, it would really suck considering Atleti are hosting the final. But fewer obligations for the rest of the season, that's, you know, 2+ months without really any other commitments. I mean, the Copa del Rey is whatever. they'll have a stronger chance to win the league if they crash out early. I'm not rooting for it, of course, but I think it would give them a better shot to just focus on the one competition with the deep squad that they have. So sure. I think Atletico will win La Liga. I'll go with that. I don't know how far they're going to get in the Champions League, but tough to see. The field is really open this year, so I can't really make a prediction as to who's going to win. As you said, there are just a lot of really good teams this year. And
it is. I mean, look, it's fun. It's really fun. Like, there's so much unpredictability, again, like even on the European level, that I think it's going to be fascinating. Like, I don't think you guys beat Juve, but I think it's just going to be fascinating to watch. And if there's someone who can figure it out, like Simeone's definitely got A, the resources, and B, the tactical kind of just ingenuity to figure it out. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be really, really interesting.
I mean, you guys are the only team to knock Atletico out in Europe the last, 6 years?
This is true.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I can't believe that stat.
It really is an amazing stat. And, you know, law of averages says one day that's going to end, but hopefully it doesn't end this year and Atletico go on to win the European Cup at last. But we'll see. That's all for 2018, though. Colts Narrow Chat will be back in 2019. In the meantime, Kian Sobhany, thank you so much for hopping on the show today.
Thanks for having me on. It's always fun, man. Thanks, Jeremy.
You can follow Kian on Twitter at KianSo. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. Follow Into the Calderon and Managing Madrid on Twitter. They're good guys. We have a lot of fun. And you can also subscribe and listen to all these podcasts, Colts Narrow Chat, Managing Madrid Podcast, Churros y Tacticas. They're all good shows. Find them on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And subscribe to the Colts Narrow Chat Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat, where we do bonus pods and a lot of other cool stuff. From as little as $3 a month, you can become a Colts Narrow Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat. Have a great New Year's, everybody, and we will catch you in 2019. Ciao.